All right, someone could read Galatians 5, 16 through 24 for me. Thank you. And I had Chris read the whole passage there because there's a word in the first verse that we read, verse 16, walk. And then in the last, or the next to the last verse, says keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what faithfulness is about. It's walking in the Spirit. It's keeping in step with the Spirit. If you're not, then you're not going to be faithful. So we know that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And it faithfulness of God fills the pages of Scripture. It is an often preached about, an often written about subject. The faithfulness of God is, that is. The faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit, is not an often preached about or written about or talked about subject. I'm not sure why. I don't have an opinion on that, but I know that because I've spent some time preparing this lesson, so I can attest to that. But faithfulness, if you think about it, it's not the known fruit that we talk about a lot. It's not the, you know, the apple or the banana of the fruits of the Spirit. It's more of the kumquat. You know, you have to think, well, is that a fruit? And what is that? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? I think it could also be confused. You know, we can confuse, although there's an element, obviously, of faith with faithfulness, a lot of times it can confuse with faith. So what we're going to do before we get into the proofs of evidence, or the evidence of faithfulness, which are going to be, we're going to go through that faithfulness is evidenced by love, it's evidenced by good stewardship over time, and it's evidenced by blessing. But before we get into that, we're going to spend some time on what faithfulness actually is, so that we know it and we have a good definition of it, and also what it is not. So faithfulness, and thankfully Sinclair Ferguson gives a very good definition on this. He says, faithfulness is just saying an ongoing amen to the commitments that we've made. So making commitments and then carrying them out. Saying amen to them, continuing to do them. So that's a simple but very good definition. And I think it's also helpful to give you some synonyms of faithfulness. A couple here are trustworthiness and integrity. And if you think about it, that is what people long for in relationships. So they want faithfulness in relationships. They want trustworthiness. They want integrity. You know, people want to befriend people they can trust. People want to marry people they can trust. People want to hire people they can trust. People want to work for people they can trust. You know, if you think of a good compliment, if someone says about you, you know, you can trust that man or you can trust that woman. What a great compliment that is. If they say you cannot trust that man or you cannot trust that woman, what an awful commentary that is. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness." So trustworthiness, integrity, those are elements of faithfulness. Also dependability, reliability, consistency. I think these are good questions to ask ourselves when it comes to faithfulness. Are you reliable? Are you dependable? Are you consistent? Do you show up? Really, that's what we're talking about. Do you faithfully show up? That is something that is greatly lacking in society today. I had the privilege of working for our federal government for a few years. And, you know, after seeing people literally sleep in their cubicles, and I don't mean taking naps. I mean coming into work, 8 in the morning, sleeping all day on their desk, 5 o'clock, getting up, or taking smoke breaks, 10 to 20 smoke breaks a day. I can tell you, faithfulness is something that's lacking in the workplace. If you've ever tried to call some businesses and try to get something done, you know, you're trying to pay people to do things for you that they've advertised that they want to do for you, and then you can't get them to show up to do the things you've paid them to do. That's the state of our society in so many cases. So faithfulness is lacking in our society. We also live in a world where You want to talk about reliability. You want to talk about dependability. You want to talk about consistency. You know, RSVP, I think a lot of people don't even know what that means. I know it's French, but I think a lot of people have just forgotten what that means. You know what it means. So dependability is not the norm. It's often the exception, unfortunately. But that's not how it should be for us as Christians, right? Because we know that Ephesians 1 tells us that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You know, this fruit, if you know Christ, if you are a believer, then the Holy Spirit is bearing this fruit in you. It should be growing. So faithfulness, dependability, all these things we talked about that revolve around faithfulness should be evident in our lives. Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, "But let your yes be yes, and your no be no." I made the mistake of saying that to my children often, and they like to throw it back to me a lot. But it is, I'm kidding. It is a good thing to teach your children. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. The rest of that verse, Jesus said, "For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." So if you're opposite of the yes and yes, if you pervert the yes and yes as far as faithfulness, I mean, that is literally from the devil. That's what Jesus is saying there. You know, if you are not faithful, that's from the devil. So we're called to walk in the Spirit. Our behavior should not be worldly. It, of course, should not be of the flesh. And we know that God is reliable. So turn to Thessalonians. Turn to Thessalonians 5. If someone could read verses 23 through 24 for me. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians, I believe. So here we see a great definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness is God. God is faithful, right? Literally says, "He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do that." So we were called to walk in the Spirit. We know that God is faithful. We know that He is faithful to give us the fruit of faithfulness. And not only is He faithful to us, but He'll supply that fruit for us. Faithfulness is also fidelity and loyalty, also something often missing in our society. If you've ever played team sports, you experience that. If you play on a lot of losing teams like I did, you don't experience it as much, but you experience it with team sports. I can attest you also experience it in the military. That faithfulness, that loyalty is being wholly committed to someone. It's being wholly committed and faithfully loyal. A lack of faithfulness, so if you think about a lack of fidelity and a loyalty, destroys. It's death. It destroys marriages. I read a study that according to the National Institutes of Health, which is part of our government, 88% of divorced couples say infidelity led to their divorce. So lack of faithfulness is very present in our society. It's something we desire in all of our relationships. I mean, even down to your dogs, right? I've got two German Shepherds. And no matter how much my wife and my children feed them or play with them, they know who their master is. But they are faithful to all of us. They would die for us today, I have no doubt. So faithfulness is something that we long for. And it's something that's, of course, missing. Society is groaning for it. Think about it. It's such an attractive fruit. Again, it's what a compliment if someone says you're faithful. What a life-giving fruit it is. If you live a life of faithfulness, if you walk in the Spirit, if you keep in step, and you have faithfulness in your life, it will have an effect and a blessing on so many of those around you. And it's also an eternal legacy. So that's the difference in what the world would call faithfulness and what we know is faithfulness, which is a fruit of the Spirit. It leaves a legacy on not only families, but the communities around us. If you've got a community of faithful men, that's going to be a good community to live in. We've talked about what faithfulness is. Let's talk about the opposite of faithfulness, which is pretty obvious, would be unfaithfulness, being untrustworthy. So I don't think I need to go through too many of those. But I do think it's good to important to think of the perversions of that. Years ago, I did a lot of studies from T.W. Hunt, who was a godly man. I heard him speak several times, and he always liked to talk about the fruit, talk about the opposite of fruit, the fruit, but also talk about the perversion of the fruit. And the reason this is important is because Satan, that's what Satan does. You know, Satan cannot create anything. All he can do is pervert. All he can do is create counterfeits. So the perversion, and we just saw that when Jesus spoke and said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything further is from the evil one. So that's what we're talking about here. What is the perversion of faithfulness? So the perversion of faithfulness is overwork, overcommitment, legalism, you know, showing up but never going home, being overzealous, being committed, but being so obsessed with the lack of commitment of others. That's not fun to be around. I do not want to be around a legalistic person. And I don't think any of us do. Unfortunately, sometimes we can't spot it in ourselves when we're carrying it out. But that's a perversion of faithfulness. Before we leave the definition of faithfulness, the best definition of faithfulness is in 2 Corinthians 1:19 through 20. So if someone could read that for me, 2 Corinthians 1:19 through 20. If you don't hear anything else I'm going to say today, I'm not saving the best for last. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. This is no suspense here. This is going to be the most important thing we read and that I say today, and that is the best definition of faithfulness. So someone could read 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 through 20 for us. So we can rely on His promises because the answer to God's promises are Jesus. So God is faithful with His promises, and the answer to the promises are yes, and the answer is Jesus. So the faithfulness of Christ was lived out here on earth for our salvation. From birth all the way till His ascension, He was faithful in all things. So if you really want to know what faithfulness is, know Christ. Seek Christ. Read about Christ. Talk to Christ. That Christ is faithfulness. And we see that also in Philippians. Someone can turn to Philippians 2 verses 8 through 11 for me. This is another great example here. Philippians 2, 8 through 11. So, obedience is key here. He was obedient. Another great definition, I'm not crazy about his translation, but Eugene Peterson has a great definition of faithfulness. A long obedience in the same direction. And we see that exemplified here in Christ. So the faithfulness of Christ took Him to the cross, and He was obedient. How long was He obedient? He was obedient to the point of death. He was obedient so much so that He was willing to die. And not just any ordinary death, right? The longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize just the cup of wrath He drank for us, what He bore, the sin He bore, the agony He bore. He was obedient to the point of death. So again, Christ is the definition of faithfulness. He is the personification of faithfulness. Okay, so that's the definition of what faithfulness is, what it is not, and then the perversions of it. And now let's consider the three proofs of faithfulness. So how are we known by this fruit? Again, because faithfulness is not always easy to point to, always easy to understand. when we're writing or talking about it, but we know it when we see it. The Bible tells us that we're going to be known by our fruits. That's how we know we're Christians. We're going to be known by our fruits. So I think it's important to know what it looks like. So first, I believe faithfulness is evidenced by love. So if you do not have love, specifically, love for the Lord, love for others, and that love for God, of course, is going to create that love for others in you. Love above yourself, obviously, you're not going to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So think about it. He loved us before time began. He called us to salvation. He was then faithful in that call. Then He secured that salvation through Jesus, His Son, His only Son. And then He sealed our salvation through the Holy Spirit. So He is faithful. God is faithful. Turn to Lamentations 3, verse 22. We actually went through this passage, I know, last time when I taught on mercy, but it's such a great passage. Lamentations chapter 3. If someone could read I want to read real quickly a quote by John Fesco on this passage. He said, "The Scriptures often closely link love and faithfulness. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." That's Proverbs 3:3. Proverbs insists upon this connection because steadfast love and faithfulness is something that marks the Lord. Psalm 26:3 is, "For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." So love and faithfulness are linked. And so again, we begin with the love of God, and we see that through His faithfulness. And here in this passage, we see that verse 22, his steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. All of us this morning, we are awake, right? We are here able to worship Him. His mercies are new every morning. And that is, we see that, and that is a part of His faithfulness, which is fueled by His love. So the same should be true to an extent in our faithfulness as Christians. So the faithfulness of God provides us what we need, His mercy, and it also says that He is our portion. You know, if you're a father, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you are taking care of your family, if you are faithful in doing that, you're providing a portion to them. You're giving them what they need. Your mercies to them are new every morning. If you're a great friend, if you don't have kids or a spouse and you're a good friend, you are giving new mercies to your friend and those around you as you walk in the Spirit and you keep in step. So faithfulness reflects the faithfulness of God. So our faithfulness should reflect that. And that's how people are going to know that we are Christians, is again through our fruit. Mark 12:30-31, you don't have to turn there, we all know this. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." So we're going to love God, we're going to love others, and that's where faithfulness is going to be produced from. And that's why the world can't do it. The world can counterfeit it, the world can try, but they will never have the fruit of faithfulness unless they know Christ. And Scripture, you know, also commands us to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. So if you're truly being faithful, others are on your mind. Faithfulness is about a love of God, which leads to a love of others. Unfortunately, unfaithfulness is the opposite. Unfaithfulness is putting self first. Think about the example of Saul, King Saul. You know, here was a guy that was more concerned. He was concerned about others, but what was he concerned about? He was concerned about what others thought of him. And he was concerned to the point that he was more concerned about what others thought of him. He wasn't worried about others. He was just worried about what they thought. He was more concerned about what others thought of him than he was worried about what God had commanded him to do. And what did that lead to? It led to, in some cases, a mentally unstable man. It led to a divided family. It led to him delving into sorcery. And it eventually led to the death of him and his son. And so that was all because of self. Self, self. Putting self first is what leads to unfaithfulness. I grew up where, and this is not a knock against it because I occasionally indulge in it, but where country music was king or is king, and one of my earliest memories is being in my grand. It was probably in the 70s because I was probably 3 or 4. It may have been my first memory, being in my grandfather's Cadillac. And he liked to keep it clean. And I remember that because he didn't want my little cowboy boots touching the seat. So this was back when you could drive in the front seat as a 3 or 4 year old with no seat belt and on the edge of the seat. But what I remember is staring at those chrome radio dials and hearing that steel guitar, hearing that country music. And if you know anything about country music, you know it is just ballad after ballad of unfaithfulness. Being unfaithful, someone doing you wrong, someone being unfaithful. And probably the king of that was, at least in that era, was George Jones. And about 30 years ago, when I was a cadet at the Citadel, I went to a George Jones concert here at the Coliseum in North Charleston. And something special happened. He showed up and he sang. And the reason I say that, because if you don't know who George Jones is, his nickname is No Show Jones. In 1979, he missed 54 concerts. Now, we're all unfaithful in many ways, but George Jones did not show up for those concerts because of a love for his fans or a love for his commitments. It was ultimately a love of self. He put his self over others, and that's why he was unfaithful in those commitments. So faithfulness, again, is showing up for those commitments. As Sinclair Ferguson said, it's a continual amen to the commitments. And faithfulness is, of course, grounded in love. The next evidence I want to look at real quick is the evidence of faithfulness is good stewardship over time. So if you're faithful, you're going to be a good steward of what God has entrusted you with, whether that's people, whether that's money, whether that's time, whether that's a job. What He's entrusted you with, you're a good steward of it, and it's going to be over time. It's measured over time. It's not just a day. It's going to bear fruit over time. Matthew 25, you don't have to turn there. That's a parable of the talents. We've looked at that in Sunday school not too long ago. And that also shows us what faithfulness is like. If you'll remember, the good servants, they were the ones who took what was given to them by the master and they made more. And the compliment or the achievement was what the master told them as a result. And if anybody remembers what does the master tell them when he finds out that they have multiplied what he had given them? Anybody remember? Well done, good and faithful servant. Think about that. I mean, that's what we long to hear. That's what we long to hear our master say. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness involves good stewardship of those resources he's entrusted us with. Eric Alexander, and if you really want to hear a good lesson on faithfulness, go listen to Eric Alexander's sermon on it. But he boils it down to this. Christian giving, Christian living, and Christian service. So, Christian giving. Are you taking the resources that God has given you and sowing them eternally? Are you taking that money God has given you and giving it to kingdom work. You know, I meet with millionaires every week, and none of them are taking any of it with them, and most of them don't know what to do with it, and very, very few of them are giving it to the kingdom, Christians included. So Christian giving, He has entrusted us with that money. It is His money. Are we giving? Are we being good stewards of that money? Christian living is what we've been talking about. Are you faithful in your relationships? Are you faithful to your wife? Are you faithful to your children? You know, are you faithfully, dads, are you faithfully sharing God's word with them each day? You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that a day where we do not more deeply penetrate into God's word is a wasted day. I would say the same is true for us as fathers. A day that we are not at least sharing a snippet of scripture with them is a wasted day as a father. We need to be sharing God's word with them. We need to be good stewards of of what God has put us over and to whom God has put us over. So being faithful over the money and the resources we've been given, being faithful over the relationships, you know, are you a good husband? Are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church? Are you being gentle with her? And then Christian service, you know, are you using the time and the talents, the spiritual gifts that God has given you? Are you serving in the church? Or are you just being entertained? Are you wanting to know where God wants you? Here's the neat thing about it. It involves doing the work God has given you to do and doing it day in and day out. But here's the neat thing about it. It does not involve doing more than He's given you to do, because this is sometimes our tendency to overcommit. Remember, that's a perversion of faithfulness. Just because the church has an activity doesn't need to mean you need to be involved in it. You need to be involved where God has you. You need to be involved in where God is leading you to be involved in. You need to be involved in the things He has for you. And that doesn't have to be a mystery to us. It's not always easy to find out, but it doesn't have to be a mystery. Get in the Word, pray, and God will show you where He wants you. In fact, we know God's Word tells us He's already prepared deeds for us, right? He's already prepared how we should walk. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So He has already prepared where we should walk, how we should walk, right? He's created us for that very walk. He's told us, as we read earlier, we're supposed to walk in step with the Spirit. So that is where we're supposed to walk. We're not supposed to go off on the side and start our own little things. We're not supposed to be involved in things too big for us. You know, we're all guilty of this. I know I am. I think about the area of politics. I've followed it since I was very young. And too often I don't realize that my only influence is to vote. For some reason, I feel like I have to consume as much news as possible so I know where I stand on every issue, as if some secretary in the president's cabinet is going to call me and ask me what my opinion is on foreign policy. That's never going to happen. So don't, and just if you struggle with that as I do, last week the passage that I rely on is Psalm 131. You know, I don't involve myself in things too great or too difficult for me, right? National politics are too great, no matter how much I think I know, they're too great and too difficult for me. That is not where God has me. I am to bloom where I'm planted. So, again, we want to guard against that overwork and that overcommitment, and not to be consumed with the things He has not called us to do. But we are to be good stewards of that Christian service. We are to be using our time and our talents. I would also say faithfulness is fulfilled commitment over time. So not only committing, but fulfilling those commitments and doing that over time. Turn to Hebrews 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. And this is, again, is an example of faithfulness, what it looks like. Somebody could read that for me. Hebrews 3, 1 through 6.
Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what will be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son.
So Jesus, of course, is the perfect example of faithfulness. We've already talked about that. But Moses also was a great example of faithfulness. I don't think anybody in here would doubt what God called Moses to do and that he did it. He was called to lead the people. He was called to share God's word. He was called to take those Ten Commandments and give it to God's people, even though they didn't want them, and he did it. So he was faithful in God's call. And that is, again, a perfect example. Also, if you'll just turn over to Hebrews 12, since we're already in Hebrews, if someone could read verses 1 through 2 here, Hebrews chapter 12. So again, we're walking in the Spirit, we're keeping in step, and we are running that race, and we want to finish it and finish it well. Unfortunately, we have examples all around us of people that have gone years of what appeared to be faithfulness and then fallen. We need to finish well. We need to pray for God's protection over our lives, that we're faithful in all these areas. All right, the last proof here, evidence is faithfulness is evidenced by blessing. Proverbs 26 through 7 says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? So who, as we were talking about earlier, society is longing for this. It's not out there. Who can find a faithful man? Verse 7 says, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. So if you are faithful, your children are going to be blessed after you. I didn't say your children were going to be perfect. God's word said your children will be blessed after you. There is a blessing. Hey, there is a blessing. I've seen it over and over again. There is a blessing when you have wayward children living in the home. They are under that blessing. And as soon as they leave that home, everything falls apart. So this proverb is true. This proverb is speaking to the blessing of faithfulness. And it's true. I had a friend growing up, and he had a dad that you did not want to be home when you were over there. Anybody know that kind of dad? If you went over to his house, you were wishing his daddy was not home. And thankfully, he was not much. Or thankfully for me, not for his family. He was not a fun guy to be around. He was an angry guy. He was unfaithful to his wife. He had a wife in Mississippi, we found out about later. Or a second wife, I should say. He moved his kids around over and over and over again because he chased the dollar. He wasn't faithful to his employer. He was always looking for the next best thing. He was rarely at home, and like I said, he was dreaded when he was. And his unfaithfulness left a wake of divorce, destruction, and eventually financial ruin for that family. So blessing did not follow his unfaithfulness. When faithfulness is in the home, though, just think about what it produces. Wives and husbands and children thrive. Because why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is life. Death comes from flesh. That's the fruit of the flesh is death. When it's present in church congregations, congregations are blessed. The pastor's blessed, right? When we encapsulate that love-filled faithfulness, it affects all those around us. There is blessing. The last verse, and we don't have time to turn there, but Psalm 37, 3 through 4, I think really sums all this up. It says, and I like the New King James Version on this because of a particular word. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed. That's the verse I like, or the word. And feed on His faithfulness. So He's calling us to trust in Him and do good. So if we're going to do good, that means we're being faithful. We're being faithful because we trust in Him. And what does he tell us to do? He says, just dwell in the land and feed on my faithfulness. And then if you delight in me, he says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What a great promise of blessing if you're faithful. I also love that, and I have to remind myself of this often, about dwelling. Again, we're not to be overcommitted. We're not, God has not put us here to be overcaffeinated and overcommitted and try to get a million things done in one day. He is telling us to dwell and feed on his faithfulness. Good news for y'all, we don't have time to sing. But Psalm 33, 3 through 4 says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy, for the word of the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness. And what a great hymn, just the first verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, it talks about Lamentations and the mercies that are new every morning. So I'd encourage you to read through that this week. Any thoughts or questions before we go? That's right. That's right. Amen. Yep, that's right. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that with Saul. You think about what was fueling the self thing is his pride. He wanted to be king. He didn't want David in charge. And, you know, how many people, if they lost their job, they lost their position, or even sometimes if their football team, you know, didn't win, how many of them lose their identity, right? Our identity is in Christ, so that should take care of the pride thing. All right, well, thank y'all. Let's pray before we go.